I'm pretty sure that most of us here are familiar with the fable of the tortoise and the hare. There may be a couple in the room who have heard it for the first, or who are hearing it for the first time. But it goes something like this, just to refresh your memory. One day, the hare was bragging to his friends about just how fast and quick he was to all of his friends. They were all hanging around and, you know, doing what animals do. So as he was talking about how quick he was, the tortoise was lumbering by, passing through, and he became an easy target for the hare to ridicule. And the hare was saying to his friends, "Yeah, I'm so fast, I can leave this tortoise in the dust. I don't even know how the tortoise even gets anywhere. He moves so slow." And the tortoise, in his response as he approached the group of animals, said that he was actually quite good at getting places, and that he even managed to get there on time every time. He was really good. And he challenged the hare to a race just to prove it. So the hare was a little bit surprised, like, why is a tortoise challenging me, this quick animal, the fastest in the woods, to a race? So, of course, he couldn't be embarrassed in front of all of his friends after having bragged about how quick he was. He said, yeah, no problem. You name it. When, where, we'll race. The hare was very, very confident, and they set a date to race. The fox decided that, or the fox was nominated as the referee. So on the day of the race, they lined up, and the hare took off from the starting line, left the tortoise completely in the dust in a matter of seconds. And it seemed like a done deal. All the friends were like, yeah, of course, we knew this was going to happen. No surprise. And the hare, you know, getting further and further ahead down the road, he figured that he had such a good lead that he decided that he would be able to take a nap just to prove how good he really was. So as the hare was napping along the side of the road, the tortoise continued on, one step after the next, as quickly as he could, which was still quite slow, but continuous nonetheless. And eventually, he overtook the sleeping hare by the side of the road. And when the hare had woken up from his luxurious, lengthy nap, he realized that he'd been asleep for a very long time. It was getting dark already. And he dashed to the finish line as quickly as he could, only to see the tortoise standing on the opposite side, enjoying his victory. Now, the moral of this story usually winds up being stated in a couple of different ways. The first way is that the race is not always to the swift. The other way is that slow and steady wins the race. I like to think of this fable in another way, too, and that is that it is important to play the long game. Instead of looking for a short-term win, we need to focus on the future goals that are really worth working for. We need to look out way into the horizon, even beyond it, if that's what is required, so that we can truly accomplish the big goals. So in this vein, I'd like to offer you another fable similar to the one that I just covered with you. It's maybe not going to hit the history books like Aesop's Fables does, but I call it The Saints and the Proud. Like the fable of the tortoise and the hare, it is about differing perspectives, attitudes, and a manner of conduct. Both the saints and the proud seek the same goal, or so they think. They don't compete against one another, but they compete for personal achievement. The crown of life is the object, if you will. that they are looking for. But they have different ideas about that, what that prize actually is substantiated by and how to win it. The proud, they believe that they can obtain this prize, a crown of life, with their own power, with their own skill, with their own might. They believe that God and his help are unnecessary. They neglect to acknowledge that any good fortune that they might enjoy is not the result of God's help, but of their own abilities, their own pride. The proud believe in themselves and they forget God. Let's turn over to Psalm 10 and read verses 3 through 6 for our first scripture today. Psalm number 10. And we'll begin in verse number 3. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. We can sense the perspective and the attitude of the proud here. The proud might find success in the way that he or she lives on this earth. There is prosperity in some cases. And they certainly, in some cases as well, are accomplishing their heart's desires. But what are they really desiring? Their focus is on the short game. The worldly prosperity. Their focus is not on the long game. It's not on the ultimate, eternal kinds of prizes that are out in front. The prize that they seek is personal prosperity. They believe that they can succeed in their pride, under their own power, and with their own abilities. God is not in their thoughts. And because of that, they do not even realize that their heart's desires are set on the wrong thing. When our hearts are set on the wrong thing, we may accomplish the prize, but it's not going to have the substance of the ultimate prize that God has designed for all of mankind. Let's turn over to Luke 12, and we'll read verses 16 through 21. Luke 12, beginning in verse number 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Pride, the accomplishments that we may achieve in this world that build up ourselves with our own abilities, those kinds of things work to deceive a man. It causes the proud to think that in the short term, looking for worldly profit and worldly pleasure. We can see that the rich man here was very satisfied with what he had accomplished, so much that he wanted to see how he could seek even more. He thought he was doing pretty good. But we can see how foolish this is. The proud are unaware of the long game that is actually being played. The proud relax, and believe that there is plenty of time to indulge in worldliness before the return of Christ, before it becomes necessary to repent and dedicate our lives to God. The proud have a short-sighted attitude, not knowing that it takes continual diligence to actually win the race that they're embarking on. The proud have become rich and have need of nothing, to quote from Revelation 3. But they do not know that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Proud are self-deceived into thinking that they have been able to succeed under their own power. They take their rest and neglect to work on becoming righteous. But the saints know better. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, and beginning in verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us eat, let us watch, and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The saints are aware of the race that they run, and just as the tortoise does, they know they cannot rest. They keep the clear objective out in front of them, and they do not quit. They do not sleep like the hare does. They understand that the real prize that they are looking to obtain is the one of salvation and not of the temporary things of the world. They understand that they need to watch, to be sober, wakeful, and hardworking. That is the perspective of the saints. Let's go over to Acts 20 and read verses 22 through 24. We can read about what this sounds like from the words of Paul. Acts 20 and verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The saints understand that they will encounter obstacles in the short term, but they are unfazed by them. Just as Paul says here, he knew that he was going to face tribulations in the adventure that he was embarking on, in his words, in the race that he was running. But he did not lose sight of what the real prize was, the crown of eternal life. The saints know that any of the obstacles encountered in this life are temporary. They are minuscule and meant only to throw them off the path. But they are unfazed. And Paul, for him, the truth of the gospel was so important that none of the consequences affected him. They were not going to stop him. His prize was clear, and he even managed to find joy in the process. So how does the race end for the proud and the saints? Who wins? The proud wins their heart's desire, but they realize that their heart's desires were misdirected only too late. Turn over to Matthew 7, and we'll read verses 21 through 23. Matthew 7, and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does my will, does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When the proud comes to the end of the race, expecting the prize, they will be sorely disappointed. Too late, they find out that the way that they have conducted their lives was not in accordance with the direction that God designed, the way that God desired. They seek their own will and not God's will. Pride places one in opposition to God. And therefore, the prize that will be offered to the proud at the end, when the awards are given out, will not be the kinds of awards coming from God. But what about the saints? Turn over to Revelation 3, and we'll read verses 8 through 12. We see how they finish the race. Revelation 3 and verse 8. Let me make sure I'm reading the right one here. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word, my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. When the saints come to the finish line to claim their prize, they will receive the crown that they have worked so hard for from the very beginning. That crown of very life. They are not very strong, but they have enough strength to do what? To hold on to that vision, to hold on to the goal, to hold it as dear, as more dear than anything else. They have enough strength to persevere. That is what it takes to win. Each one of us can live our lives like the proud, or we can live like the saints. We can live our lives seeking the success from our own abilities without God, or we can live our lives according to the prize of eternal life. Brethren, how will you run your race?